You know, there comes a time in every young man's life when he gets to have a father and son chat. And everything from cars to money to marriage to jobs can be talked about. You can have more than one chat, you know. But probably the most important thing that a father can chat with his son about is Jesus Christ. Now, we'll get to that today, but we're going to go around the long way to get there. And that's because in the Bible, we have recorded for us one of the most detailed father and son chats of all time. Well, it's sort of not much of a chat. It's more of a lecture, I'm sure Solomon's sons would say. But we find this over in the book of Proverbs. And so if you'd like to follow along this morning, we're going to spend 99% of our time in the book of Proverbs. You could turn over there. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1 to start with. The first seven verses of Proverbs 1. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, we see the purpose of this collection of short, pithy statements with general use advice. Again, Proverbs 1, starting with verse 1, where we read, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Now, of course, in these few verses here, we have, you know, the main reason why the collection of Proverbs was given to us. In particular, verses 2 and 3, we see that we can gain wisdom and we can gain discipline and insight to the things of life, really, you know, especially in helping young people with knowledge and discretion in their life. Even can help some of the older, more wise, of course, to gain more knowledge, right? But in particular, we're talking about Solomon's sons here. And so what we kind of have really in the book of Proverbs is more than just a collection of biblical fortune cookie fillers, if you will. This is a father's chat with his son. Take a look at Proverbs 1:8. There Solomon writes, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction." And also in Proverbs 4:1, the phrase is repeated, but plural that time. And over in Proverbs 6:20, Solomon encourages the son to keep the father's commands. So we have really this dialogue, this collection of sayings and instructions from a father to his sons. Now, the overall general theme of the book compares the wisdom of following God against the foolishness of following basically any other way. And so throughout Proverbs, we read things like, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother," in Proverbs 10:1. And similar verses are like that throughout Proverbs, like Proverbs 17:25, we're told that a foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. And just one more, and these are all in your sermon notes. Proverbs 19:13, "A foolish son is his father's ruin." That's rough. And so there are a total of 63 verses I counted in the NIV of Proverbs that talk about the foolishness of, well, the fool, really, as compared to the wisdom of the wise, especially that of the foolishness of the son, and how he can avoid actually being a fool by choosing to follow God's way and so be wise. And we read that if the son does that, that, you know, he's pleasing to not only his father and mother, but also to God. Now, the way that Proverbs is structured is that Solomon is, of course, the wise teacher. So he's the father, and he's instructing his son, or his sons, who would be Rehoboam, who is listed in the Bible, and also possibly Menelik, who is not listed in the Bible, but tradition tells us that he was his second son. So the wisest father in all the land has a chat with a son. A little intimidating. And we might be expecting great things from this discussion. I mean, don't dads, when they chat with their sons, you know, have all this stuff they want to just share, you know? But we have to remember again that just because Solomon was wise doesn't mean that his children were. We kind of see later on that Rehoboam kind of did fall a bit far from the tree. But hey, you know. And that's because, like all seed sown, it's really important whether or not the how the seed takes root and grows depends a whole lot upon the readiness of that soil. In other words, the son needs to be able to listen and actually listen to the father's teachings and put them into practice in order to gain that wisdom and discipline and insight into life, kind of like we talked about in our class in the library on the book of James. Solomon's sons need to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Still, again, in order for Solomon's sons to be able to hear the word of God, there are certain expectations that we have of Solomon as a father in order to do his father and son chat thing. So let's spend the rest of our time this morning talking about four of those expectations from the book of Proverbs. And the first is that as a father, Solomon needs to be able to give instructions for his chat. All right. Proverbs 13:1 tells us that a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. Now, the father in our text is obviously able to teach his son about the important things of God to his children. And if the father does that, we're told that a wise son considers what his father is saying, and then he gleans from it the things that are needed to grow in wisdom and understanding. Of course, the mocking son, also called a fool elsewhere, he hears the same words that his father teaches, but maybe he hears it as a rebuke. And since that's the way he feels, he chooses to not listen to his dad. His dad's just, you know, he's just hammering on me. But think about it. If someone decides that they don't want to hear something that's really important or useful, simply because they think that maybe they're being scolded, well, what happens is later on when they do mess up again on maybe something really important, you know, that they needed to learn about when they are first corrected, you know, when that thing happens and they do the same thing again, well, then they end up facing really a harsher rebuke. And of course, they're seen even more as foolish. It's like telling someone not to do something or else this will happen. They don't listen and they do it and it still happens and then they get hurt and you're like, duh, you know. Of course, this is all because, you know, we have the understanding in our text again that a father is taking some time and making the effort to teach, to instruct his children in the things of God. And when dads do that, well, it helps their children to grow. It's a show really of love and concern for their children's benefit. Again, Proverbs 1:8 and 4:1, Solomon writes, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." Pay attention, gain understanding. And over in Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we read the same thoughts again. And on the screen, I believe it says 1 and through 2, but we're going to go down through verse 5. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And he just says, you know, if you really want to hear what I've got to say, I have words to share with you that can give you life, give you knowledge about God. One more passage. This is over in chapter 3. Again, we'll start in verse 1. He writes, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." So again, we have Solomon here, being the wisest man in the land. You know, you just know that he's got a lot that he could chat about with his sons. Of course, the wisdom of Solomon came from God. We might think, hey, how in the world as a dad can I possibly compare to Solomon? But we dads today also have the wisdom from God in the Bible. And we could share that with our children, all right? And of course, we have to be good students of the Word. We have to be regular readers and things like that. And again, that's not only so that we can just teach it, but so that we can live it as the example that we need to be. Not just for them, but because of our own relationship with God. Again, a father needs to be able to give instruction, to be able to teach the things of God, to be able to chat about Jesus. Second, as a father, Solomon would also have to be able to give reproof. And that's important because if we want our children to grow up understanding consequences and be practical about things, then they need to be able to be corrected by their fathers, and fathers need to be able to correct them. Proverbs 15:5 says it this way, "A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence." A fool. In other words, we could say that the child who gives heed to correction is cautious not to act when the end is of doubtful utility or probable impracticability. Or a simpler way to say it is, he grows in wisdom and understanding so that he doesn't end up doing stupid stuff. You know? Again, inferred in all this is that fathers actually rebuke or chasten or correct their children. And that reproof might take the form of a simple word of rebuke, or it could involve some discipline. Depending upon their age, of course, there are various types of disciplines. Things like a timeout or taking car keys away or turning off the internet or even a spanking. Shh, we'll censor that later from the audio. But again, dads don't discipline because we want to show who's the boss. Let's face it, most dads don't like to do things like discipline. Still, we do it. We do it for the good of our children because we love them. And we want to see them not hurt themselves. Proverbs 29:15 says it this way, "A rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." You see, it's the father's responsibility here to do the correcting when necessary. And if the child is smart enough, if you will, prudent, then they'll learn from that correction. If not, well, chances are they'll need to be disciplined again. You see, a father who truly loves his children gives them both instruction and reproof because it's something that they need in order to have a firm foundation to stand upon. See, if a child doesn't know wrong from right and doesn't realize that there are consequences from their actions or inactions, then they won't really have any kind of a starting point to be able to know how to handle situations in life. They won't have a foundation to base their beliefs upon and to be able to stand upon. And so fathers need to be able to provide that foundation. Proverbs 22, verse 28 says, "Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your forefathers." Now, those ancient boundary stones or landmarks talked about here are actual physical landmarks delineating physical boundaries, you know, of a property. You see, in ancient Israel, God forbode the removing or moving of landmarks because it amounted to stealing. You see, they didn't have satellite images with nice computer-drawn images of boundaries, you know. Instead, like time's gone past, you know, maybe you still have some on the property you're at, you'll see a large rock or a tree or there's something there, and these things are necessary so that you know whose property belongs to who. And that allows for people to have their own residence and for communities to exist and even for towns and countries to exist. And just like it's important for us today to set physical boundaries to protect our borders and our property and our lives, really, it's also important for fathers to set boundaries for their children to protect them as well. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians at Thessalonica, he wanted to make sure that they had certain spiritual boundaries in place to protect them. And so he writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, saying, "Brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter." And the reason Paul encouraged them to stand firm and hold to the teachings was to give them a point of reference to prevent false teachers from corrupting them. And so just like Paul was telling them to continue in the truths of the faith that he taught them, as fathers, we need to be setting down some spiritual landmarks, some spiritual boundaries for our children. I don't mean in a legalistic sense, you know, of course, but by providing guides for them in their spiritual formation so that they can use those guides for their life and to be able to better know God and what God says is actually right and what is wrong and how to live. The truth is, our children need secure boundaries. They need both physical and spiritual places of safety and assurance. As a father, I'll have to admit it's tough. I mean, I can come up here and share all this, and I could sound like, hey, you know, you must have great, you know, set up with his kids, and I could say I try, you know, but it's hard. It's hard to live up to what I preach, and I hope that everyone else tries to at least live up to what I preach. I try to put it in practice myself. But think about it, you know, a father's life is difficult. It's hard to be a parent. So don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say I'm holier than thou. I'm just trying to say I'm like thou, okay? All right. But still, a father is supposed to do these things, you know? Look at Solomon, okay? He's supposed to instruct. He's supposed to reprove. He's supposed to lay important spiritual foundations. And all that can be difficult sometimes. But when it's all said and done and those things actually have happened, then fathers can take pride in their children. Think about this. To the Israelite, the family was the proof of God's blessing. And so the more children, especially boys, the more the glory. And the more grandchildren, the greater the glory. Proverbs 17:6 says it this way, "Children's children are crowned to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children." You see, most dads, at a certain point in their fatherly life, usually when they start to get gray or begin to lose it all, or both, they start wondering if they'll ever get to see things like grandchildren. And all I can say is that if it is God's will, as we see in the scriptures, then their children will have children. And the Bible tells us here that those grandbabies are like a crown to their grandparents, okay? And those of you with grandchildren, well, you know what I'm talking about, right? And as the children grow, you know, they come to honor and respect their parents. And then those aged parents become their glory or their pride. And as heads of an ever-increasing household, especially in the Hebrew community, even in the early church, fathers are seen as wise and learned men in both their families and the community. And this is where elders come from. Okay. Now, as challenging as all this seems for us dads, remember, our Heavenly Father knows what we're capable of. And He knows what it is that we have to do in order to be the kinds of fathers that He really has meant for us to be. Especially so that we could have those also important father and son chats. Because we need to do those from time to time. Just like Solomon did with his sons in the book of Proverbs. It's important for fathers to be able to lay out those two basic paths that we can take in our life with those chats. You know, the path that God gives us that leads to knowledge and wisdom and life. And then, of course, the path, that's the path of the fool that leads away from God and all that's good and gives life. And while Solomon talked about these two basic paths in everything, really, from avoiding the path of the wicked to avoiding sexual immorality and finding a good wife and what that means, and being careful even with the company you keep, Solomon also, most importantly, talked about trusting and honoring God. He said it this way in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Really, all of Proverbs chapter 3 is about trusting and honoring God. I suppose the most important father and son chat a dad can have with his children is about the path of the gospel. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. He said to enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. That's the path of the fool, you see, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Solomon would say, that's the path of the wise. You see, just like the path that Solomon laid out, Jesus tells us that there are paths that we can take too. One that leads to God and life, and the other that leads to death and destruction. And so this morning, if there's anyone here that's not on that narrow path that leads to life, all you have to do, the scriptures say, is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and recognizing that you're a sinner and that you need to change your life, you confess Jesus as Lord, giving him your whole life and surrendering to him in Christian baptism. So again, this morning, if there's anyone here that needs to come forward during the invitation song, maybe to obey the gospel and become a Christian, then we pray that you make that choice today. Or maybe you would like to come forward to ask for prayers of the congregation, or maybe there's some other need that we could help out with. As always, you're welcome to do that as together we stand and sing.